2 Timothy 3. We're continuing our Jesus Jargon series. We're going to bring it to an end pretty soon. We've got one more teaching in the Let's Get Personal topic that we've been looking at for a little bit of a while. And so after this teaching, we're going to have one more in the Let's Get Personal series. And then we'll take a break from Jesus Jargon. We might come back in the future. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. You never know. But we've taken a shift in Let's Get Personal. We started off looking at just the intimate aspects of your relationship with God, how to grow deeper in that, how it kind of goes, how it flows, not looking at it as a religion, but as a relationship. And then we shifted last time we were together, so not last week, 2 weeks ago, and started looking at things that can be a little bit of a hindrance to your intimate relationship with God, the things that can be a damper to your relationship with God. We started looking at hypocrisy, and tonight we're continuing looking at something that can be a damper to your relationship. So that brings us to 2 Timothy chapter 3. You got it? If you got it, say got it.
Got it.
Good. Okay, let's stand on our feet. You're always the loudest to say it, and you never have it. You never got it.
I say got it on purpose.
So 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. Shh, read with me. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. We can call them the ungroup. Slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have your word that reveals so much about life, so much about spirituality, who we are, and what this world that we live in is. And we pray that we would learn from it this evening, that you'd fill me with your spirit to speak your word, and that each word I speak would be not from myself, but from you to the hearts of your people. And I pray that we would all grow deeper in you, hearing exactly what you have for each and every one of us individually, but then for all of us as a group of junior hires trying to grow deeper in you together. So have your way in this teaching. Let us grow deeper in you, we pray. All this in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab a seat, everybody. So, the Bible has some commandments that are super clear and clean cut. So, an example of this would be sins like fornication, sex outside of marriage, the sin of murder. That's very clean cut. When you're murdering someone. Stealing. All of these are very clean-cut sins to where it's obvious when someone has committed that sin. Maybe it's not that they're public about it, but they know that there's no way around them having committed that sin. There's no question of, like, what was the position of their heart when they killed that person. No! Okay. There's nothing. Yeah, no. And it's never like, what... Did you really need it when you stole that person's Lexus? No, that does not happen. And the Bible also has sins that are, I don't want to say the opposite of that because they're not opposite sins, but they're a lot different. They're sins that aren't really clear. They aren't always clear if you're committing these sins. So these can be sins like lust or like idolizing sexuality. So if I think someone is hot, am I lusting after that person? That's a question, right? A question we can ask. Pride. If you have a conversation with someone and you're like, they stink, like body odor, like they just really stink, maybe bad breath, and you're having a hard time just talking to them because they smell so bad, are you prideful? Because you're like, I would never stink like that and I can't talk to them because they stink. We don't know. It could be pride, or maybe they just smell really bad. Sins like jealousy, sins like covetousness, idolatry, these all fall under this. It's a position of the heart. We can't say, because you think that person is stinky, you're prideful. Or because you think that person's really attractive and you have a crush on him or her, you're lusting. No, we can never say that. It's all a position of the heart. But then on top of all of these sins, there are actions and thoughts that are not necessarily sins, but whatever it is brings us further from God's will in our life, further from what God wants us to be doing and the direction He's leading us, and closer to committing sins or being tempted by sins and falling into them. And these are called compromises. And that is what we're going to talk about tonight, compromise. That, like, really did not show through, but in case you're wondering what that says, compromise is what we're talking about tonight. And compromise, by definition, means, and I kind of edited this definition to, like, include multiple definitions at the same time, it means to accept the standards that are lower than the standards that you've set with God, or your convictions. So convictions are something that we haven't been able to talk about yet in junior high. Not really at all. I think we kind of touched on it when we talked about liberties in 1 Corinthians, that frequently asked question series. But here's briefly what a conviction is. It's a liberty that you don't have the freedom to engage in because it could tempt you to sin. So usually you would have the freedom to engage in all liberties, but because this liberty would cause you to sin, you don't have the liberty to do it. It's a conviction. It's not a clear-cut, black and white, in the Bible, sin. If you do this, you're sinning, but it could cause you to sin, so you have the conviction. And a compromise is when we go beyond those convictions, those boundaries that we have in our life to keep us from sinning, to keep us from falling into the sins that we struggle with. So let me give you a couple of examples, because the idea of compromise, until you really see it, it's hard to grasp. So I'm going to try to help you see it. First, with a historical example, super historical. Second, with a modern one. It's quite modern as well. So for our historical example, we got to go back to the beginning. Literally, I'm going to take you to the first compromise that ever happened. Not that happened in the Bible, even though, yes, it is the first in the Bible, but that happened in all of time, because it is the first instance of compromise. And that is between Eve in the Garden of Eden, when she partook of the fruit. So this is in Genesis chapter 3. And you guys know the story very well. You know the history, the account of it. You know it super well. But the serpent, he rolls up to Eve, and he says, "Did God really say that you can't eat of all of these trees in the garden?" So even right there, he's challenging her. He's wording the question in a weird way. You can't eat of all the trees in the garden? And Eve says, in verse 2 of chapter 3, the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Now hold up. Shall you touch it? If you flip back to chapter 2, God did not say that. God did not say that in Genesis chapter 2. All he said is, "You shall not eat of the fruit." And so what we can assume is that Eve had this conviction, maybe Adam had it as well, that they will not even touch the fruit, because they know, like, if you tell a kid you can touch the cookies but you can't eat them, that's torture. Who would do that to a little kid? And so they say, "We can't even touch it." And so now all Satan has to do is get them to touch the fruit. Touching the fruit was not a sin, but they knew if they got close enough to it, they're going to be tempted even more so and could end up sinning. So Satan, he focuses on just getting her to the tree, because he knows that if he can just get Eve close enough to see how beautiful that fruit is, to see how attractive it is, to maybe feel the skin of the fruit, maybe it was really soft and, like, felt really good and fuzzy. I don't know. What's, like, a good fruit feeling? Like, oh, wow, that's a really good fruit. That feels really good. I don't know. But Satan knows that that's what he has to do. He has to get her close enough. And sure enough, that's exactly how it is. When he gets her close enough to the fruit, it's easier for her to partake of it, to sin. Verse 6 says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, that it was an attractive piece of fruit, and a tree desirable to make one wise, and that was a lie from Satan, she took of its fruit and ate. And that is the first sin of mankind, and it continues from there. And Eve compromised before she even sinned. And then the question would be, was the compromise a sin? No, because that would be impossible because there was no sin on earth before they ate of the fruit. So in her case, her compromise was not a sin. So that's an ancient historic example of compromise in the Bible. Now, let me give you a little bit more of a modern example. So somebody who struggles with pornography or maybe just any kind of lustful sin, the like idolatry of sexuality, they will need to put some boundaries in their lives so that they can avoid that sin. If they're struggling with it, if they're just living in it, they're not going to put any boundaries up. They're just going to engage in it however they want. But if somebody is a Christian and struggling in that sin, they're going to need some real boundaries, some convictions to keep them from falling into that sin. Now, the main sin to avoid in this case is pornography or just any kind of idolatry of sexuality. But if someone who struggles with this decides late at night to just like hop on their Instagram account and flip through the, what's the, like the search menu of Instagram and then like check out the fitness profiles, like, oh, I'm just browsing through the fitness motivation, trying to get motivated, you know, really trying to be inspired. At that point, because it's just rough, at that point, that person has compromised. Because that is something that maybe they're not sinning, we don't know for sure, but it's something that is going to draw them closer to the point of sinning and further from where God wants them to be. So at that point, they've compromised. Have they sinned? We don't know. It would depend on where their heart's at. Are they really on there just to be like motivated for fitness or to like check out some new yoga poses and see some really like fit people? I don't know, but maybe. And it would depend on what's on that profile. Is it really inappropriate or is it just like really buff dudes and it's like, it's not appropriate, but it's really buff dudes. But in more cases than not, that compromise is eventually, maybe not that same night, it's eventually going to lead to more things that are higher on the like the pornographic spectrum, if you will. So maybe not full-on pornography, but on that spectrum of like getting closer and closer and closer, compromise, compromise upon compromise. And this is compromise. And our passage in 2 Timothy shows us some people who they look religious, they act like church people, they're all about being godly, they appear to be godly, but their lives are filled with compromise. So we're going to use that passage to show us some reasons why people compromise. What is it that causes people that maybe usually wouldn't or that don't even want to engage in that sin? What is it that causes them to engage in things that are drawing them further from God and closer to that sin or closer to a point where they will partake of that fruit? So we're going to look at 3 points really briefly that show us what causes people to compromise as we go through that passage in 2 Timothy. And the first point, it's super duper obvious. It's so obvious that it's not even in our passage, but I have to talk about it because it's so true. The first reason we are compromised, the first reason people become compromised is because of temptation. Satan and his army of demons, they're not playing games. They're not just like throwing out obstacles and like, oh, I wonder if we're going to catch a Christian today. Like sitting there like at the fishing lake. Where do you fish? Reservoir? Dock? The fishing dock? Just like casting obstacles out there. I wonder if we're going to get anybody today. No, they are going out of their way, doing all that they can to literally make people fail at life. That is their goal. They want you, each and every one of us, Christian or not Christian, to fail at life. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom he may destroy," literally for eternity. And the devil knows that if he can get you to the point that you are comfortable compromising, that it'll be so much easier for you to partake of that fruit when he brings it up. So much easier to tempt you to the sin once you've become comfortable in compromising. And so this is what he's going to do. That will be his tactic more than not. That has been his tactic from the first sin. To not get people all of a sudden go from like loving people to murdering people, but to, in a small stage, get them to compromise. How about we just get them to hate people, to dwell on hatred, to be bitter, to let that bitter boil up, and then to start yelling at people, then to start getting really mad at people, then violent at people, and then when they're violent, he steps, and it goes, and it goes, and it goes, and it goes. The point is, his goal is not to all of a sudden one day turn you on to a sin. His goal is to slowly, step by step, lead you further from what God has you and closer to the direction of sin. For some, it's going to be real quick, but that's just the way it is. But in other cases, he will do it as slowly as he needs to get that person towards sin. So that's the first reason that compromise happens. The first reason it's caused is because of temptation. Because Satan, his army of demons, they are doing all they can. They're smart too, they're not dumb. Satan is not just like, come on guys, let's do it, and like, take them down. No, they are planned. They're battling angels and also focused on us, communicating with our souls, taking our passions into consideration, blowing them out of proportion, and then turning them against us. They're very smart, and they use compromise to do that. So, first point, compromise is caused by temptation. Now, the second cause of compromise that we see in our passage is selfishness. Yes, selfishness. This is crazy. Our passage says, selfishness. Selfishness, yes. Our passage says, man, now I'm all messed up. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says that compromising people are lovers of themselves, lovers of money. They're unthankful. They don't have self-control. They're lovers of pleasure rather than God. Because we are earthly human beings, not yet glorified, like we talked about a few weeks ago, we are in our terrestrial body, not yet a celestial being that has been resurrected into a glorified existence. We have fleshly cravings and desires. Some of these things are created by God, designed to be enjoyed in the perfect way. But because of the evil of this world, those things just blew way out of proportion, and now we're tempted to idolize them or to use them in a way that's against God's design because we just want it quickly. We want that instant gratification. We're all about that because we're selfish. So one reason we compromise is because we want to satisfy. We love satisfaction. It's deep inside of our DNA. It's deep inside of the way God created us. God created us to satisfy the right way, to be satisfied the correct, the righteous way. But we just want that instant gratification, that instant satisfaction. So, yes, we know that thing could cause us to sin. Just like flipping through Instagram or Facebook late at night can cause us to sin in greater things. You know, telling perverted jokes could lead to something else. Or like using slang could lead to this and to that and to this and to that. And I'm not saying those are inherently bad things, but they can lead to bad things in some people's lives. So we know, yeah, one compromise will lead to another, but we're so selfish. We want that satisfaction. And so that's the second cause for compromise, is selfishness. The selfishness that we have is what causes us to compromise. We want that instant satisfaction. Now, the third and final cause of compromise is pride. All of this is like cutting straight
to who we are as fallen human beings. But we need to analyze it. We need to know it well, because compromise that's in your life can lead in the future to sins that you would have never thought you would engage in. But because you've become comfortable compromising, you're open to so much more. Our passage says that compromisers are boasters. They're proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents. They're unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, or puffed up. So our pride, the elevated way that we view ourselves, can cause us to compromise. Because here's what the prideful person says. Oh, yeah, I can touch the fruit and it won't be a sin. I forgot. Yeah, God didn't say that I can't touch it. He just said that I can't eat it. There's no reason I can't walk up to that tree, look at that beautiful piece of fruit, hold it in my hands, and just stop there. As weird as that is, who picks up fruit to not eat it? But that's what the prideful person will say. You're just like, oh, peach. Look at that. Look at that thing. Look at the way it shines in the light. Yes, maybe Eve was a photographer. Yes. The prideful person will say, yeah, I can just browse through the search menu of Instagram late at night. I'm not missing anything. Oh, yeah, fitness motivation, or oh, yeah, like whatever it might be. Yeah, I can cruise through that. There's not going to be anything there. Oh, yeah, it's just I've never seen that before. No big deal. It's not going to tempt me or anything. It's just there. There's nothing inappropriate on Instagram. There's filters and all of that. Or someone saying, I can watch that movie. There's only like one bad scene. There's only one like sort of sexual part in it. It's not that big of a deal. Or it doesn't cuss as much of that as that one movie. So yeah, why can't I watch it? It's not that big of a deal. There's way worse movies out there. Or I don't need to read my Bible today. I know the Bible so well. I can just like recite it in my mind. There's no need for me to really spend time reading the Bible today. I've already been to church twice this week. And then our pride causes us to compromise. Because we say, yeah, I can watch that and it won't cause me to sin in the future. Or, yeah, I can see that. I can touch that. I can watch that movie. I can not do this, not do that. It won't cause me to sin. And it's our pride, that elevated view of ourselves, that's causing us to compromise. And then we get comfortable in that compromise. We're moved a little further away from God's will and God's desire, what he wants us to be doing, and a little bit closer to the temptation that Satan has in our lives, or that whatever else might be tempting us, our flesh, our fleshly desires. And before you know it, you've gone from not being able to touch the fruit to standing at the tree just staring at its beautiful fruit to touching the fruit, and then naturally you've eaten of the fruit. So we see that compromise has the potential to lead us further from God and closer to sin. And this is what's important. Compromise is sort of that middleman. Yeah, most of the time, compromise is not going to be a sin. What matters is where your heart's going to be while you're watching that. So while you're doing that. For a lot of people, they might be idolizing that, or they might be having lustful thoughts as they do that, or they might be having hatred as they say that about something, even though it was just sarcastic, but there's hatred in their heart. And compromise is that middleman, that if we become comfortable just watching that thing that's not a sin, or saying those things that aren't really that mean, later on it brings us closer and closer to sin, to where maybe a week of that habit in the compromise has brought us to a place where we are tempted to do something that we would have never thought we'd even do. Months later, we're addicted to something that a few months ago we said, oh, me, no way, I would have never done that. I would have never engaged in that. That's what people who aren't as mature as me or aren't as spiritual as me do. But because compromise got in there, it's led you further and further away from where God desires you to be. And it's caused by three simple things that as Christians, even as Christians, yes, we are surrounded by every day. Temptation, our selfish cravings. Yes, we have selfish cravings. It's real. It's something that we will not be able to dispose of until we dispose of our human bodies and are glorified into our heavenly bodies. And our pride. And yes, as Christians, we desire to become more and more humble every day, but it is a fight. It's a struggle. Pride is something that everybody and their mom struggles with. There's no way around it. It's just the truth. So, what this teaching lacks, and it's very intentional, is specific application. So what do you need to do to avoid compromise? And the reason I did that is because you have small groups and small group leaders that can help you arrive together at that answer. So yes, it's important to know in our questions, what does compromise usually look like? Yes, we need to know that. What causes you to compromise? Be personal. What's real about that? Like, what causes you to compromise? Is it Instagram late at night? Is it just, like, reading through those really random blogs on Facebook? There are blogs about everything. Sometimes it kills me. I'm like, how did you write more than one paragraph about, like, muffins taking over the world? And then third, how can we avoid compromise in our own lives? How can we avoid it in our own lives? And that is what's most important, because I didn't talk about it intentionally, because I want you guys to get there on your own, knowing that temptation, selfish cravings, and pride are what bring us to compromise. Then what do we need to avoid a compromise? I think you guys got this. And so that's what we're going to do. You cool with that? You feel me? Picking up what I'm putting down? Smelling what I'm stepping in. That's what I like to hear. Okay, let's pray and then we'll break up into small groups. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you are a jealous God. And what that means is that you desire us wholeheartedly. You know that we cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve the attractive, selfish cravings that we have in this world and fully serve you. We need to be all for you in avoiding those compromises that are going to bring us away from you and closer to sin. So help us as Christians and as people that love you and love one another and as small groups to really encourage one another and find out what we specifically need in our lives to avoid compromise. It's different for every person. It's going to be different for every small group. So speak to us. Be present in our small groups, we pray. Present in each and every one of our hearts. And just be the center of this time as you have been thus far. We love you so much. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Break up in your small groups.